House, please come to order.
Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Will the clerk please take the roll?
37 members present.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Excused from the call today are Representative Fuller and Vaska. From 4:30 p.m. on, Representative Bettisworth, Cato, Capone, Phillips, Schultz, Abood, and Fritz. Representative McBride from noon on.
Will the members please rise for the invocation by Captain Lola Bacon of the Salvation Army.
O God, who yourself limited your power by giving us free will, help us not to exercise that freedom in ways that damage ourselves and your world. Help us to accept the limitations of our abilities, our health, and circumstances, and to triumph over them by being victorious within them. Give us serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and wisdom to know the difference. Thank you, Father, for these men and women who give of their time and energy for the benefit of our great state. Guide and encourage them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Representative Fritz.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread upon the journal.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the prayer will be spread upon the journal. Will the clerk please certify the journal for the 68th, 69th, and 70th legislative days?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 68th, 69th, and 70th days.
Representative Barnes.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 68th, 69th, and 70th days be approved as certified by the chief clerk.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the journal for the 68th, 69th, and 70th day is certified. This brings us to introduction of guests. Are the guests for introduction? Representative Ward?
Yes, I have two guests. First, I'd like to introduce to the body George Jensen and Gallery A with the J.B. Warwick Company. And also, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to at this time introduce with concurrence of the two representatives from his area, Representative Tischer and Representative Abood, a constituent from their area that I met many years ago. And prefaced, I met this person at the, before unification, the old city council meeting, when he was standing up and telling our city fathers that he could do it for less, and in fact, they said he couldn't, and he turned around and did exactly that. I would like to introduce Mr. Pete Zamorello.
Representative Larson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. April is National Cancer Month, and today we have with us the Honorary National American Cancer Society Crusade Chairman. This lady has endeared the life of all of us through her illustrious career, which she is now continuing through her work in the American Cancer Society. Going back, this lady, starting at the age of 8, has appeared in such drama productions or movies or TV specials such as A Christmas Carol, All This in Heaven Too. Maybe that's what we're looking forward to in our capital projects today. Sergeant York, she was with Gary Cooper. She starred in The White Cliffs of Dover, Meet Me in St. Louis, The Yearlings, The Son of Lassie, For Love or Money, Lost in Space, Petticoat Junction. Butterflies are free. Once more with feeling. On a more personal note, she has ridden a camel in New Delhi. She's ridden an elephant in a circus, but to my knowledge, has never ridden a llama in Alaska. In summary, besides her great work in stage and screen, she's also on the board of directors of a savings and loan company and a real estate company. She is a spokesperson for a municipal bond company. She's also a corporate spokesperson for General Electric. Being all of these things, as well as a great American, Mr. Speaker, it is therefore with great pleasure, on behalf of the American Cancer Society, that I present to you and to the people of Alaska, June Lockhart. Thank you.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. After that last introduction by Representative Larson, I fear to tread on the same waters. But in Gallery A, you have a friend, Mr. Speaker, of long standing, a fine young gentleman named David Ruskin. Would you help me welcome him?
Representative Bettesworth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, a friend of yours and mine, and the senior member of this body who's back to see us again, would you help me greet Ernie Haugen from Petersburg?
Ernie, as a former member of this body, you may have the privilege of the floor if you'd care to address us today. Representative Schultz.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce you today to RSVP student who's in correspondence and from the Tanana Loop area from Delta Junction, Jennifer Allen in Gallery A.
Representative Miller.
If Haugen, if he brought any pickled herring with him, and if so, I'd like to request an at-ease so that we could all go.
Ernie? Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Fuller has a constituent who is working as an RSVP page today. Let's welcome Janet Dorman.
Are there further guests for introduction? Messages from the governor.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate approved the following citation and it is returned, honoring Roger Pace. And the Senate passed House Bill number 139, providing a penalty for violation of a law or regulation relating to bees and beekeeping equipment, and it is returned. This has been sent to enrolling. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Other communications?
There is a communication from Representative Mitch Abood, Chairman of the House State Affairs Committee, stating that enclosed are the verbatim proceedings of the recent joint Senate House State Affairs Committee meetings on oversight of the Alaska Permanent Fund. A copy was sent to each legislator. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Finance has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 152, Finance, relating to the budget of the state and bills related to the budget, and merging the Division of Budget and Management, the Division of Policy Development and Planning, and the latter's Office of Coastal Management into one office, under consideration. recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 152 Finance, recommends that it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, signing do pass, Pessinger signed with the Committee Substitute, Flood signed with the Committee Substitute, and Hurlburt signed do pass if amended, signing do pass, Ward, Lindauer, Martin, and Bettesworth, signing no recommendation, Jaroff, Grusendorf, and Adams. Duncan signed, no recommendation, should be amended. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 152 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 162 Rules, making supplemental and special appropriations for capital projects under consideration, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 162 Finance, with the same title, recommends it do pass, attaches a letter of intent. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Bettesworth, Lindauer, Flood, Ward, Duncan, Hurlburt, Grusendorf, Jaroff, and Martin. Adams signed, do not pass. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 162 appears on today's calendar. The Committee on Finance has had House Concurrent Resolution 18, displaying the flags of the United States of America and the State of Alaska under consideration, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 18 State Affairs, with the same title, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Bettesworth, Duncan, Ward, Lindauer, Hurlburt, Adams, Flood, Pestinger, Grusendorf, and Martin. House Concurrent Resolution Number 18 has no further referral. The Committee on Resources has had Sponsor Substitute for House Joint Resolution 28, Processing of Native Allotments under consideration, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for House Joint Resolution 28 Resources, and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Schultz, Chairman, concurred in by Schultz, Ringsted, Larson, Vessel, Gall, Vaska, Liska, Cowdery, and Euling. Sponsor Substitute for House Joint Resolution 28 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 89, repealing the tax credit for political contributions under consideration, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 89 Finance with a new title, recommends it do pass and attaches a new fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Pestinger, Flood, Ward, Hurlburt, Lindauer, Martin, Adams, and Bettesworth, signing do not pass, Jaroff, Duncan, and Grusendorf. House Bill 89 has no further referral.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Someone sent to me one of the copies of the slip to have their name added to H.J.R. 40. However, I don't have a signature on it, so I can't give it to the chief clerk until I find out who it's from.
Clerk, please continue to read reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 109, Criminal Prosecution of Minors, under consideration, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 109, Judiciary, with a new title, and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Bussell, Chairman, signing do pass, Barnes, Hayes, Liska, and Bussell, signing do pass if amended, Wente and Malone. Clarkson signed do not pass. House Bill 109 has a further referral to Finance. It all came apart. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to the introduction of citations and resolutions.
House Resolution Number 7 by Kopanen, McBride, Malone, Vaska, and Clarkson, relating to Science Fiction and Fantasy Day.
House Resolution 7 is referred to the State Affairs Committee.
House Joint Resolution Number 40 by Tischer, Bussell, Ward, Zemanski, and Barnes, requesting Congress to decontrol all natural gas.
I believe that Representative Cowdery wished to have his name added as a co-sponsor, so if the clerk would please indicate Representative Cowdery as a co-sponsor. Representative Fritz?
Mr. Speaker, I believe my name belongs on that also.
And Representative, thank you. Representative Fritz? House Joint Resolution 40 is referred to the Joint Gas Pipeline and the Resources Committee.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to introduction, first reading, and reference of bills.
House Bill 299 by Abood, Clarkson, and Ewing, an act relating to public records.
House Bill 299 is referred to the Labor and Commerce Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill number 274 by Bettesworth and Furness by request, an act relating to the regulation of public utilities and providing for an effective date.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 274 be returned to rules.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
House Concurrent Resolution number 9 by Bettesworth, Cato, Phillips, and Flood, calling for erection of a suitable memorial to honor veterans of all wars involving the United States on the site presently occupied by Nimbus. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Concurrent Resolution 9 under consideration, recommends it do pass, and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Abood, Chairman, concurred in by Furness, Larson, Schultz, and Abood. M.M. Miller has no recommendation. The Committee on Finance has had House Concurrent Resolution 9 under consideration, recommends it be replaced with CS for HCR 9 Finance with the same title, and recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Bettesworth, Vice Chairman, signing do pass, Bettesworth, Ward, Flood, Lindauer, and Grusendorf, having no recommendation, Jaroff and Duncan. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute Finance for House Concurrent Resolution number 9 be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the Finance Committee substitute is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Is there debate?
Oh, yes, I have one amendment on my desk.
There is one amendment. Will the clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number 1 by Mr. Malone, page 2, line 12. Change the period on line 12 to a semicolon and add the words, and be it. Following line 12, add the following language. Further resolve that public contributions be accepted to help pay the cost of this memorial.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number 1.
Is there objection? Is there objection?
Objection.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaker, the amendment, if adopted, would declare as a policy of the legislature in passing this resolution that we want public participation in helping to pay for this memorial. I think people in Juneau and Southeast Alaska and across the state would respond to that, and it give them an opportunity to participate in something that they see every day on the street. And the amendment does not require that the memorial be financed that way, but it would allow interested organizations and individuals to make contributions toward the memorial, and I think would help bring people together on the issue.
Representative Bettesworth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As prime sponsor of the bill, I would have no objection to this amendment.
Is the objection maintained? Representative Liska.
Mr. Speaker, what type of fiscal note is involved with this this bill?
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's a zero fiscal note on this particular bill because all the contributions is coming through the public, as stated with the amendment by Representative Malone also.
Representative Malone.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker. On the amendment, it would be my hope that sufficient public subscriptions could be obtained to pay the entire cost of the memorial, and I think it's very likely, in fact, that would happen. However, it may be that that doesn't materialize and that the state would want to go ahead with the memorial regardless of that and have some portion of the cost paid by the public treasury. The amendment would allow that to happen. And it would, all it would do would be to allow that the individuals and organizations could make contributions that would allow to help pay for the memorial, I think that would raise enough money. I bet it would, but I can't prove that, and it may be that some state support would be necessary, particularly at the early stage of designing the memorial and so forth. So while the amendment, if adopted, would help reduce any state cost, it doesn't guarantee it. The state cost would be zero. Is the objection maintained to the adoption of the amendment? If the objection is not maintained, then amendment number one is adopted. Are there further amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
We have the Finance Committee substitute for House concurrent resolution number 9, amended House, before us. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, this is one of those rare occasions where I think somebody did make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, and I commend the Finance Committee for this resolution. I urge its passage.
Is there further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the Finance Committee substitute for House concurrent resolution number 9, amended House, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
38 yeas, no nays.
The Finance Committee substitute for House concurrent resolution number 9, amended House, has passed the House. Brings us to the next item on today's calendar, and Representative Ringsted.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to request the special privilege of the floor as allowed in Uniform Rule of 8C for the purposes of a presentation.
Is there objection? Hearing none, Representative Ringsted, you have the special privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This resolution we just passed has been floating around the legislature for year after year after year, and it's something that's been interesting to a lot of people. A lot of people would have liked to have seen something done with it long before, but it's never quite gotten there. And I think Representative from my district, my colleague here, has done a lot of the work to follow this one through, to push it and get it there. And as a thank you for his effort, there's been a little presentation here that I would like to give to him from a number of us, if I may, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, if you would like to deliver that.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to seek the privilege or special privilege of the floor to speak about our trip to Yukon this afternoon and for the next two to three days.
Without objection, Representative Phillips, you have the special privilege of the floor.
Mr. Speaker, as some of the members from last year recall, we had 9 members, both from legislative members, for both from the Yukon Territory and Northwest Territories. The Yukon Legislative Assembly has indeed invited us in late January, and now we are reciprocating to that invitation. We are sending 8 members of the House, which includes Representative Boud, Bettesworth, Fritz, Cato, Kopanen, McBride, Schultz, and myself. And the Senate is sending Senator Gilman. Now, the subject areas in which we're going to be talking about, and we've been divided up into workshops over there, is economic development, transportation intertie, which includes the Alaska Highway, road construction, and water transportation. We're going to have a special meeting with Tom King, who's the general manager of the White Pass and Yukon Railroad, about the White Pass Yukon financial problems and what both the territory and the state of Alaska can do to resolve those economic problems. We have a workshop on health and medical services, another one on education, land claims, tourism, and renewable resources. The renewable resources also include the caribou migration between our state, the Yukon, and Northwest Territories. Also, we'll be talking about hydro development within the territory. On Tuesday, tomorrow afternoon, Mr. Abood will be speaking on your behalf, Mr. Speaker, to the Legislative Assembly and to the people of the Yukon. Mr. Kopanen will be speaking on behalf of the minority of this body. Mr. Gilman will be speaking on behalf of the Senate, and I guess I'll be speaking on behalf of everybody here in the state of Alaska. On Wednesday afternoon, we have a press conference in which the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, will be there among the printed press to ask questions of us about what will transpire and what has transpired in our talks. The reason I'm speaking right now is that I think, and I do believe, that this is a very important and historical occasion which will about to happen here in the next 2 to 3 days. I do think that both the Yukon Territory and the state of Alaska have a lot in common, and that even though we may have different approaches in our form of government, so it's always nice to know the comparison and how they resolve some of their problems. And I think some of the problems that they're resolving we can use over here and vice versa. I do believe that this is a first for the state of Alaska as far as exchange of legislators. And I do think that the benefits will come in the next few years between the exchanges both of our state legislature and their assembly. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I thank you for the privilege of the floor.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, as two of your constituents, Bert and Jan Baumhoff, Bert has just finished the Iditarod race. But, Mr. Speaker, before we all welcome them, I would like to remind him on the House floor he still owes me dinner for, I think, 6 years now. Would you help me welcome them?
Representative Lindauer.
Mr. Speaker, may we have an at ease in place for 1 second?
Will the House please stand at ease? Before we read the next item on today's calendar, if everyone would indicate their presence by voting so that we can establish a quorum. Has anyone failed to indicate their presence by voting? Clerk, please take the roll.
36 members present.
Representative Duncan.
Speaker, I apologize for this, but could we have a quick at ease just for about a minute?
Sure. Will the House please stand at ease?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 162 rules by the Rules Committee. An act making supplemental and special appropriations for capital projects and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finances had committee substitute for Senate Bill 162 rules under consideration. Recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for CSSB 162 finance with the same title. Recommends it do pass and attaches a letter of intent. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman. Concurred in by Besworth, Lindauer, Flood, Ward, Duncan, Hurlburt, Grusendorf, Jaroff, and Martin. Mr. Adams signed, do not pass. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute Finance be considered of Senate Committee Substitute Rules for Senate Bill 162.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House Finance Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 162 is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Is there amendments?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number one by Mr. Adams. It starts page 22, lines 20 and 21. It has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that amendment number one be adopted.
Is there objection? Hearing none, amendment number one is adopted. Clerk, please read the next amendment.
Amendment number two by Mr. Adams. Page 3, delete lines 11 through 13.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that amendment number two be adopted.
Is there objection? Hearing none, amendment number two is adopted. Will clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment number three by Mr. Adams. Page 10, line 23, reduce appropriation from $150,000 to $138,000.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that amendment number three be adopted.
Is there objection? Hearing none, amendment number three is adopted. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment number four by Mr. Adams. Page 31, after line 13, insert Delta Junction Landfill, $500,000.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that amendment number four be adopted.
Is there objection? Hearing none, amendment number four is adopted.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Adams.
May we have an adiz, please? I do have one more amendment from Haynes coming up.
House, please stand at ease. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment number five by Mr. Adams. Page 25, line 18, delete, is that 6 million?
6,000.
6,000, insert 8,500.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that amendment number five be adopted.
Is there objection? Hearing none, amendment number five is adopted. Does the clerk have further amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Winty.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could we have another brief at ease?
Will the House please stand at ease?
This is what threw me.
Speaker.
Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment number six by Mr. Adams. Page five, delete lines 11 and 12, 217. After line 18, page 15, add Senior Haven, 250. Oh, excuse me, add Senior Haven Renovation Ketchikan, 250.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that amendment number six be adopted.
There is objection, Representative Clarkson.
Will you read the amendment again?
Amendment number six by Mr. Adams. Page five, lines 11 through 12. Delete lines 11 and 12, and it has 217. After line 18, page 15, add Senior Haven Renovation Ketchikan, 250.
Is the objection maintained? Was there further objection? Hearing no objection, amendment number six is adopted. Are there further amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute Finance for Senate Committee Substitute Rules for Senate Bill 162, amended House, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House Finance Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 162, amended House, is advanced from second to third reading and placed on final passage. The clerk please read the bill in third reading.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 162, Finance, amended House by the Finance Committee. an act making supplemental and special appropriations for capital projects and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Are you ready for the question? Representative Malone?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaker, this legislation that's before us, very large appropriation in excess of $250 million. I know a lot of work has been done on the projects in the bill by members in this House and the legislature in general and the governor. Mr. Speaker, I think that this legislation being appropriated this time is putting the cart before the horse. It's a very large amount of money being appropriated in advance of the regular budget, in advance of setting spending decisions on the various programs, operations, state government, and other capital needs that may exist in the state. We have, for example, the need to deal with the question of how much capital funding is required in the corrections area and other major things that this legislature has not yet addressed. Some arguments have been made on behalf of an early supplemental appropriation that's going to put jobs on the street and that will put people to work. I'd refer members to the Green Book that the governor submitted to the legislature, the governor's executive budget. If you look at the year-end report for fiscal year 82 in that book, it shows something on the order of $1.5 billion in capital appropriations that are available for expenditure in fiscal year 83, current fiscal year. Out of that amount, there's about $500 million in federal funds that may not materialize, but nonetheless is a very large amount of money appropriated from prior years as yet unspent. The governor's task force on revenue transfers identified an excess of $400 million appropriated by previous legislatures to the municipalities in the state as yet unspent at the time the task force made its report. I don't think that this bill has the urgency that it's been assigned by either the administration or seemingly the legislature. I'd submit that most of the projects in this legislation, even if they are bid ready and are able to go to bid this summer, that the work on those projects, for the most part, will take place during the next construction season in 1984. I think what the legislature should do with this legislation is hold it. Consider the appropriations in light of the overall budget. I think we're putting the cart before the horse, and I think that we're going to find that out if we appropriate this money now when we come to dealing with a regular budget.
Is there further debate? Representative Lindauer?
Yep. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to say a few words on behalf of this bill, speaking as a professional economist. This bill is a very good bill. It does something that needs to be done. The governor has taken items, important capital items, statewide items, and he's put these in the budget. The Senate has put in items of regional concern, and there are important regional items. And the House members, and I know that every House member, a very different situation perhaps from some years in the past, but every House member had some capital money so that they could be sure that the pressing needs of their local districts were met. There has been no effort to hold down funding, keep it out of certain districts. I think that that's very important. I think the member who spoke previously is mistaken in something. What that member has overlooked is the important psychological impact of releasing this money. The governor is right, and the legislature is right in this, because this will send a signal to the construction industry that we will continue to have prosperity here, that we will continue to address the needs of our state. And I believe this bill is very carefully thought out, and a tremendous amount of work went into it, and I hope it passes. Thank you.
Is there further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall the House Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 162, amended House, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote?
Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
33 yeas, 4 nays.
The House Finance Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 162, amended House, has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on passage of House Committee substitute for committee substitute Senate Bill 162, amended House, be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to give notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 162, Finance.
Notice of reconsideration has been given by Representative Adams. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
Citation in memoriam, Harley King, by Representatives Bussell, Schultz, Hayes, and Senator Moss.
Representative Bussell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the citation and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
Citation in memoriam, Arnold and Martins, by Representatives Furness and Hayes.
Representative Barnes.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to have my name added as a co-sponsor of this resolution.
Without objection, Representative Barnes' name will be added as a co-sponsor. Representative Lindauer's, without objection. Representative Abood, Ewling, Bussell, Cowdery. Anyone else like to have their name added as a co-sponsor? Representative Flood. Representative Tischer. Representative Davis, would you like to have your name added?
I'd like to move that all members of the House be shown as co-sponsors.
Without objection, we'll add all other members of the House. Representative Liska.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to have my name entered on the citation for memoriam for Harley King.
Without objection, we'll add Representative Liska's name to the citation in memoriam Harley King. Representative Cato.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to have my name entered in a citation for Harley King, please.
Without objection, we'll add Representative Cato's name to the same citation. I'd like to remind the members you have a little green pad like this. And it's sometimes a lot handier to send up your name for addition. Saves time and makes sure the clerk doesn't inadvertently leave a name off. Representative Miller.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, perhaps for those of us who race the Iditarod every year for more comfortable surroundings, I could move that all of us be all members of the House be shown as the co-sponsors on the resolution for Dick Mackey.
Rick Mackey?
Yep. Rick Mackey, excuse me.
Yes. Without objection, all members of the House will be shown as sponsors of the citation honoring Rick Mackey. Representative Furness, would you like to move the citation honoring Arnold Martins?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do move the citation, and that's for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is approved. Representative Barnes, would you remove the citation? Representative Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we revert to introduction of guests, please?
Without objection, we'll revert to introduction of guests. Representative Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I have two constituents there that had the foresight to leave Kodiak just prior to the monsoon rains that we have there occasionally and are enjoying the fine and sunny weather that we have here in Juneau. I might mention that also this gentleman is one of the editors there of our local newspaper, of which I am very pleased to receive. I'd like to introduce and have the body welcome today with us Scott and Cheryl Anderson.
Representative Ward.
Yes, under introduction of guests, I'd like to introduce somebody that was a representative, or a constituent of Representative Martins and myself, and now she has moved to Petersburg, Alaska. She's representative of Mr. Representative McBride and Winty, my sister-in-law, Mary Louise Diamond, in Gallery B.
Are there further guests for introduction? Representative Barnes, if you'd move the citation honoring Rick Mackey, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the citation honoring Rick Mackey.
Is there objection to the adoption of the approval of the citation honoring Rick Mackey? Hearing none, the citation is approved. Representative Barnes?
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the memoriam honoring Sane Senate by Senator Kelly, Halford, and Sturgeolowski.
Is and ask unanimous consent?
Ask unanimous consent.
Representative Martin?
Speaker, I'd like to add that my name before the memorialization.
Without objection, Representative Martin's name and Representative Bussell's name will be added to the citation in memoriam, Sane Senate. Representative Flood?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like my name added as well. Bob Sennett was an old friend, and I knew his son. Thank you. Sean?
Without objection, Representative Flood's name will be added, and Representative Phillips, you want your name added?
No.
Okay, strike that. Representative Furness?
My name added also.
Representative Furness? Representative Abood? Representative Abood, you have to do more than just hold up the green. Were you holding this up to
no,
get
sir,
on there?
I was just wondering what the statement was that you meant about these things. Did you mean it, or were you kidding? To fill
yes,
them up,
I,
set them up.
I would appreciate it if members would remember to fill out the green copy of the green pad on your desk and submit your co-sponsorship in that manner. See, did we move the citation was moved and unanimous consent was asked. Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is adopted. This brings us to the end of to unfinished business. Is there unfinished business to come before the body? Representative Miller?
Unfinished business or announcements, but for those of you that are breathless to know, Ron Larson bought the roses for the Democratic minority last week, and Jack McBride is buying them this week. While I'm on his feet, Mr. Speaker, I'll announce that Commissioner Lisa Rudd will be speaking at the Juneau Precinct Luncheon tomorrow at 12:30 in the Capitol Room of the Baranoff.
Representative Adams?
Thank you. Under unfinished business?
Yes.
I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the House Finance be allowed to waive House Bill 181. This is regards regulations, psychological associations, examination, as there is no physical note.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House Bill 181 is waived from the Finance Committee as a referral. Next committee will be Rules. One item of unfinished business, I believe the clerk has indicated in the journal previously that I was excused, a request to be excused the rest of the week. It's not my intention to be absent from the legislature Monday through Thursday as excused, so without objection, I'd like to ask the clerk to so note that I will be present, and I would request you not show me as excused. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, so ordered. Is there other unfinished business? Representative Miller?
So that we're all playing from the same songbook, would you have the majority leader or yourself announce what the schedule is for sessions the rest of the week?
Yes, perhaps I could do that. It's the intention that the House convene tomorrow at 10 a.m. for the purpose of dealing with the reconsideration of today's budget bill. That's the only one that's been reconsidered to this point. There will then be session on Wednesday at 10 a.m. There probably will be one or two items on the calendar. I believe they'll be relatively easy to deal with. And it'll be it's my plan to have session at 9 a.m. on Thursday. And again, it'll be a very light calendar. And then, as you know, we do not plan to meet on Friday, which is Good Friday, April 1st. And then we will reconvene at 3:30 p.m. on Monday, April 4th. And then it's my intention to convene the House every day thereafter until the end of the session. And however, that's always subject to notice. Further unfinished business to come before the body? Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Fritz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the public from Anchorage are here in Juneau to give testimony on House Bill 88. As a courtesy, we and Hess will hear them this afternoon. However, the bill will not be calendared until next week. Thank you, sir.
Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Labor and Commerce had scheduled HB 7. It's an act requiring evidence of motor vehicle liability insurance. However, it's my understanding that bill is not ready, and we will postpone this until a later date.
Representative Ewling?
Yes, tomorrow, Tuesday, we're going to have a meeting of the Special Committee on State Loans. Two bills we're going to take up, 229, an act relating to the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, and also HB 156 regarding the State Grain Reserve Program.
Representative Ringstad.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Wednesday, which the 30th, I think, the Resources Committee is also going to take up HB 267, an act relating to herring stripping.
Representative Fritz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I neglected to say that House Bill 88 is an act making special appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services for the acquisition, improvement, and operation of certain property for use as correctional facilities and providing for an effective date.
Representative Cowdery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to announce a meeting of the Joint House and our Joint Gas and Pipeline Committee, or Joint Gas Oil and Gas Committee, tomorrow at 4 p.m. in the House Finance Committee room. It'll be a kind of a work session on the Joint Resolution 38 relating to transporting and marketing of Alaska gas.
Representative Martin.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Instead of the normal University of Alaska subcommittee hearing at 9:30 Tuesdays and Thursday, we will have the House Bill 19 for the Finance Committee dealing with the Certificate of Needs. Thank you.
Further announcements. Special orders. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, but may I have the privilege of the floor to speak on a local radio commentator?
You have the floor, Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, on a local radio commentary this morning, there was an attack made upon the President of the Senate and yourself, in which some severe and indefensible allegations were made. I feel the record should be corrected, because some people might believe what they heard just because it was on the air. The commentator spoke of the practice of allocating what we call leadership funds in both House and Senate budgets, and he referred to the practice as raw abuse of power. That is the first item I challenge, Mr. Speaker. I have been a member of the Majority Coalition and its Policy Council for the last 2.5 years, and have not seen physical power abused, rawly or otherwise. Those allocations were approved as part of the normal budgeting process. Further, if the commentator means to allege that the uses of these funds, rather than the allocations, were abuses of power, he did not say so. The members of this body, who is said by the commentator to have been emasculated by the practice, has not been heard to complain. I cannot believe his cause has been taken up without his request on the airways. There is a reference to illegal slush funds. Perhaps these are neatly distinguished from legal slush funds. But we hear no argument by which these are illegal. If they are, why have not charges been brought, Mr. Speaker? What makes them illegal when they have been appropriated by due process? Who is complaining? We are not told. The commentator imputes that you and the President have used these funds to maintain your positions as presiding officers. The majorities in both houses would hardly seem to indicate that necessity. And even the practice he cites of awarding chairmanships would have little to do with it again, Mr. Speaker. His reference, illegal slush funds, does not bear up. Finally, Mr. Speaker, he speaks of abuses but neglects to review the history of the case, citing no abuse of leadership funds. If he wishes to speak of questionable legislative council funding, let him look a little further back. As a radio commentator, he should be sensitive to some examples. There were none. The record, Mr. Speaker, in all the commentator's allegations is quite contrary to the record and to what he would have his listeners believe. Perhaps it is inappropriate to be annoyed, but I am. It must have been a slow weekend for the news. Otherwise, a subject that he indeed could prove would have been on his list of things to comment about this morning. I submit, Mr. Speaker, that when members of this body or the other body are under attack by any source, that the source should come forth with some proof rather than just allegations. Thank you.
Representative Fritz, do you wish the floor? Further special orders? Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like the privilege of the floor under special orders to speak on a newspaper report.
You have the floor, Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've noticed in the Anchorage Sunday Times and in other newspapers that I've had an opportunity to see since yesterday that the governor has taken it upon himself not to mail out the 1983 permanent fund dividend applications. Speaker, I think that's a mistake on the governor's part. The program is part of the law. I happen to know that the forms are printed and ready to mail. I think the people are aware that of the applications that were sent out last year, because that they were sent out relatively late, that and the processing in that program took some time, that right now there are many thousands of dividends from 1982 that have not yet been paid. I think in the interest of efficient administration, regardless of the governor's position on this program, He ought to follow the regulations and mail out the forms at the earliest possible opportunity. If the governor wants to change the program, he has the opportunity to do that by submission of legislation. I don't think that the governor should be deliberately delaying the dividend applications. It does not constitute efficient administration of government, which is one of the responsibilities that the governor has. And I'd submit that it doesn't constitute fair treatment of a program that's in law. And I hope that the governor decides that he should go ahead and send those applications out. I think that this attempt to stall the program by executive action does not comport with the laws of the state of Alaska, and I think the governor is in error.
Representative Szymanski.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to have privilege the floor to speak on the Permit Fund.
You have the floor, Representative Szymanski.
Mr. Speaker, I hadn't planned on addressing the body today, but I'm compelled to follow the previous speaker's remarks because I think it would be irresponsible to go ahead at this time with the feelings that exist within the legislature and throughout the state. I don't believe that the best interest of the state is going to be to move ahead and disperse several hundred million dollars in funds again this year when we see declining revenues. I think that prudent, responsible, elected representatives must address the issue and not just let it pass us by and say we could not draw a consensus on the issue. I think that we would develop anxieties amongst a lot of people if we were to send out applications at this time. I think it's a responsible act by the governor and the administration. And I, for one, will stand here today and request the rest of us to join together and move to repeal of the Permanent Fund Dividend Program, to have it repealed and roll all the resources of it back into the fund. Because if we don't, we're going to see a catastrophe in this state in 1995, where the monuments which we are creating today and which we passed out as a part of the bill today to appropriate funds for construction of schools, roads, improvements throughout the state are not going to be able to be maintained. It's either that or we're going to pass another message on to the rest of the people of the state of Alaska that we should initiate a tax in 1995 that will probably exceed 60%. And I think that's crazy. I think everybody agrees it's crazy. But I think at some point in time we're going to have to take the bull by the horns and wrestle it down. And I think that I, one, have been advocating for a long time to take a look at that Permanent Fund Dividend Program and roll those revenues back in. Develop the fund as a resource of the future so that future generations have the same luxury that we have had today, to pass out a bill of $250 million. I don't see it happening. I don't think that we're going to have an operating budget of the future if we don't do something about it. So I, for one, I'm going to stand here and hopefully before we adjourn this session, vote in favor of repealing the Permanent Fund Dividend Program and rolling it back into the corpus of the fund. Thank you.
Further special orders? Representative Miller?
Speaker, I'd like to speak on the same subject.
You have the floor, Representative Miller.
Speaker, this is divergence among Democrats Day. Mr. Speaker, I would just like to agree wholeheartedly with with my colleague from the Kenai. If members of this on this floor have suggestions for enabling legislation that will indeed repeal the permanent fund distribution plan, that's fine. That's what the legislative process is all about. They're welcome to introduce bills, as a number of members have, including the member who spoke just previously. But until that legislation is passed, Mr. Speaker, laws are on the books. I can only agree wholeheartedly with my colleague from Kenai that as long as the laws are on the books, the administration is bound legally to follow the law. And in this case, the law is on the books regarding the distribution plan. The applications should be mailed out at the earliest moment so that we will not have the delays that we are currently having in the previous year's application and fulfillment program. And I just concur heartily. If we want to change that law, that's fine.
But in the meantime, let's not speculate as to whether we will or will not change it, or if we do change it, how we're going to change it, or if we change it, or whether we're going to roll the things, the money back in, or use it for additional capital projects. Let's obey the laws on the books as long as they are there. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further special orders? Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Tuesday, March the 29th, 1980.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow.